We continue our learning. Here you have a case where, let's say, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon now paid back part of the loan to Reuven, and now he gave the shtar to a third party. What did it do? The Malva said, well, listen, you still owe me some money. Instead of writing a receipt on that which you already paid me, we'll give the shtar to a third party. And this way, this person will hold on to the shtar, and in this way, we will ensure that the rest of the money will be paid back. V'amra lo, and the Lova said to the third party, Im lo nasati lecha mikan v'yom ploni, he says to this third party who's holding on to the shtar, if I don't pay back the rest of them, let's say he borrowed $100, he's paid back $75. If I don't pay back the other $25 by this particular time, so you can give the shtar back to the Malve, and the Malve will be able to collect the entire loan. Tein lo shtaro, and now we'll be able to collect the full $100. Not only $25 that I owe, but the whole thing. Higiyaz mahazman v'lo nasan. If, in fact, the time has come, the Lova has not paid back the rest of the chov, the rest of the debt, Rabbi Yossi omer yitein. So Rabbi Yossi says that the third party can now give the shtar back to the Malve, the way the Tanai was, the condition, the commitment that the Lova made, and Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yitein. The third party does not have the right to give the shtar back to the Malve, based on the commitment of the Lova, that the Lova would pay back the full loan if it didn't pay by such and such a time. He's not permitted to give it back to the Malve, and the reason for this is because this is what we call an asma. What's an asmachta? An asmachta is where, so the word somech, the Lova is relying on the fact that he, although there's a condition built in, he makes an agreement, he commits to paying a certain amount of money if the following condition is fulfilled, but he thinks that condition won't be fulfilled. He is somech on the fact that it's never going to come to fruition. So that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds asmachta is not koneh. Such an agreement does not have validity, and therefore the third party does not have the right to give the shtar back to the Malve for the Malve to collect the full loan again. The Lovin never had in mind, even though it sounds, even though he committed to it, the condition was, if I don't pay back by such and such a time, give the shtar to the Malve can collect the full $100 again. He doesn't think that's ever going to happen. He thinks he'll have the money by then. So asmach does not kone. If Reuven would end up taking that extra money, those extra $75, that would be like stealing. And asmach is not kone. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion yitain, that he has the third party can give the shtar to the Malve based on the condition, based on the commitment, because he holds asmach is kone, and therefore the Lovez commitment, his financial commitment to the Malve, is considered a kinyan. The Malve is not considered stealing. I've taken that from him. Asmach, we have in other cases as well. You may be familiar with asmach from the third parak of Sanhedrin, where we speak about gambling. So there also someone commits to give a certain amount of money if they lose, but they don't plan on losing. Otherwise, they never would enter into the game to begin with. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi holds asmachta is kone, and Rabbi Yehuda believes asmachta is not kone. Some say that the word asmachta from the word somech, to rely, is not that the Lova is relying on the fact that he will not have to, that the Tanai, the condition will never be fulfilled. He's relying on the fact that he'll pay on time. But the word somech asmachta is that the Lova wants the Malva to be somech, to rely on his commitment that he's going to pay the shtar in time. He does this in order to appease the Malva, but he doesn't really have in mind to ever pay that money. Perek Yud, Mishnah Vav. Misha nimchak shtar chovo. You have a case where someone has a shtar, he owes, let's say there's a shtar, Reuven lent money to Shimon, there's a shtar that Shimon owes that $100 to Reuven, and some of the shtar has been, here it sounds like the whole thing was, let's say water fell on it, now the whole thing was erased. So says the Mishnah, Me'idim alav Edim, Edim are permitted to testify. If Edim knew what was written in the shtar or when the shtar was written, and they knew this shtar was Reuven lending money to Shimon, so they can testify. Uvalifne based in the osin lokium, and they comes in front of based in, and they are mekayim the shtar kiyum shtaros. They verify the shtar, make sure it's authentic, and they're able to write a new shtar. And what's the nusuch of the shtar? Ish ploni ben ploni nimchak shtaro. They said that this person, the son of this person, his shtar was erased, let's say that the shtar of the malveh, and this is the amount, and this is the zman, b'yom ploni, u ploni ploni edav, and it was written on this date, and these are the two people who were the Edim. So that is one way to understand the Mishnah. The whole shtar is erased, but there are witnesses who know what the shtar said, and they know the names of the Edim who were written in the shtar. They're not the Edim, but they know the names of the Edim, and they come, and this way, they make sure the shtar, they verify the shtar, even though the whole thing was erased, and he can write a new shtar. Now the Mishnah, some say that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the shtar is not completely erased, but rather the Girsa in the Mishnah is Mishnah Nimchak Shtar Chovo, not Mi'idim alav Edim, the Edim testify about it, but rather Mamid alav Edim. It means that the shtar is not completely erased. You can recognize the basics, the names, the date, the amount, etc. But the owner of the shtar, let's say the Malvin in our case, is afraid that the whole thing is going to be erased eventually, and the amount won't be there, and his name will be erased, and he won't be able to use it to collect. So what does the Mishnah teach us? Mamid alav Edim, not Mi'idim alav Edim. But Mamid alav Edim means he brings Edim who are going to read the shtar, the people, and they will, and they know what's written in the shtar. They know the names of the Edim. They come to Beis Din and they testify the following: we saw the shtar. We read the shtar before it was erased, and we saw that this is the amount, and this is the date, and these are the people, and these are the Edim. We recognize their Edim, and Beis Din now verifies the shtar based on their Edus. And this way we have, and this way the Rambam understands it, the Rambam in Hilchos Malveh Loveh, Perek Chav Gimel, Halachos Yud Beis and Yud Gimel writes the following: Misha Bala Shtar Chavo, a person whose shtar, whose loan document is getting worn out, Fahu Holech, Vahari Hu Holech Limachek, and it's on its way to being erased. Mamin olav edim uvala Beis Din v'heim osim lokiim. You have edim who are going to read it, and they make sure that they were able to write the shtar, to verify the shtar. Beis Din now put a henpek. This way, they verify that the shtar, in fact, is acceptable. Kesim nekayim shtar zeh, says the Rambam. Kosvin shtar acher. They write a new shtar. What does the new shtar say? Anachnu Beis Din ploni uploni uploni. We the Beis Din, the three of us, the three dayanim, hotzi ploni men ploni shtar nimchakafon edu. This particular person ruled. Reuven took out a shtar that was started to get erased in front of us. Uzmanu b'yom ploni, uploni ploni edav. And these were the edim who were signed on that. And they're verifying the signatures as well, because they also may get erased the names of the edim as well. Some explain that even if the whole shtar was erased, since the Edim know what was written in the shtar, and what time, and what the time it was, the date, and this was the shtar that Reuven lent money to Shimon, so they can come to Beis Din and being Mekayim this shtar, even the whole thing is not here anymore, and what they do is they write down, they themselves, these Edim, they write what was written in the shtar, not that Beis Din puts together a new shtar. They themselves put together the shtar, and they sign their own names at the end of that shtar, of that new shtar. That's the way the Rashbam understands it. But the Balei Atosos disagree. They say, Kiyum Hashtar, verifying the shtar has to be done like by Beis Din, and it cannot be done by, through Edim. Then the Mishnah says, Misha para miktas chovo. Here you have a case where Shimon owed $100 to Reuven, let's say, and he paid part of it. And in this case, they don't agree that the shtar should go to a third party. So we want that the shtar has, that the malveh has proof, or the loveh has proof, rather, that he paid back part of the shtar. Now, you're not going to give the shtar, the malveh's not going to give the shtar to the loveh, because now the malveh won't be able to collect the rest of the loan. On the other hand, the loveh doesn't want the malveh to hold on to the shtar, because the shtar says that the loveh owes $100, but he already paid a 50, let's say, of those dollars. So, we don't wear yachlif. What we do is, we switch the shtar, which means we write a new shtar. The new shtar now says that Reuven lent $50 to Shimon instead of $100, because Shimon paid back whatever the chov was. It says that Shimon owes a new shtar, Shimon owes, signed by Edim, that Shimon owes $50 to Reuven. Rabbi Yossi, and you rip up the first shtar. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yichtov Shovar. No, you keep the shtar, but the Malveh writes to the Loveh a receipt, a Kabbalah, that he already paid $50. In this way, if the Malveh takes out that shtar that says that the Loveh owes $100, the Loveh will, in Beis Din, will take out the receipt that he got from the Malveh that he already paid 50, and he'll only owe 50. Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, The reason I disagree, I think you should write a new shtar, and we shouldn't have a receipt, because nimsa zeh tzorech liyos shomer shavarim and achbarim. Now, it's the lova's responsibility to make sure that his receipt is not eaten up by mice, which means that why should the lova, who already paid back part of the money, why don't we should write a new shtar? Why should we keep the shtar around that says the lova owes $100? Can only get the lova into trouble. He paid 50 already, and he has to watch his receipt. People lose receipts, and then the mavel will be able to collect the whole loan again. So that's why I say you should write a new star. Amar le Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef to Rabbi Yehuda, kach yafelo. No, in fact, this is better for him. What does it mean it's better for him? It's better that we have the loveh have to guard the shovar, the receipt, that it's not that's not lost. Why is that better for him? So yafelo, some say it's really yafelo malveh. It's better for the malveh, not better for the loveh. But the idea is, what's yafeh? It's yafeh this way. He'll realize he better pay his chov back. Having holding on to the receipt is a reminder that he still owes more money, and the fact that he doesn't want to lose the receipt, and if he loses it, the malveh potentially could collect the full loan again. Of course, not according to halacha, not legally, but we maybe should be afraid of that. This will pay back the loan as soon as he can. Better to have the receipt. The lo yorah kocho shel zeh. Better to do that than to weaken the koach, the power of the malveh, through writing of a new shtar. Why will that weaken the koach of the malveh? Because what happens is when you write a new shtar, so we know a shtar has, there's a lien on the property of the loveh to pay back the money. So the lover, when you the original star, which was the $100, which is a star written, let's say, 2 months ago. So all the properties of the lover are meshubah, there's a lien upon, or a mortgage to make sure to pay back the loan. But that's from 2 months ago. Any properties he may have sold during that time is from 2 months ago are meshubah, there's a lien upon it to pay back the loan. You write a new star, there's a new date. So now the properties of the lover are only more for this new $50 is. If you write this star from this new date, so the properties of the lover to pay back those $50 are only mortgaged from the time of this new star, and therefore it's better. Why weaken the power of the malveh? That the malveh, if the lover defaults on the loan, that the malveh can't take mortgage properties from 2 months ago, only just from a few days ago. The Gemara says, in the name of Rav Huna, Am Rav Huna Barav, Ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo k'Rabbi Yosi. We don't follow Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you write a new star. You don't follow Rabbi Yossi that we say that you write a shover or a receipt, but rather ela based in mekaren hashtar v'kosvin lo shtar mizman rishon. What we do is we rip up the old shtar, write a new shtar. But here, unlike the way the Mishnah understood it, we solve our problem. When you write a new shtar, you write a new shtar, but from the date, meaning the properties are mortgaged from the earlier date, from the original shtar. However, the Brisa and the Gemara brings that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda held that when we write a new shtar, we're writing a new shtar from what we call Zman Rishon, from the original date, so that the properties are mortgaged from that time. So what exactly then does Rabbi Yehuda hold? So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that it's true, we write a new star from the original Zman, and this way the properties are mortgaged from the original Zman, and this is therefore, it is Yafelo Koach, it solves the problem for the Malveh, but nonetheless, this is all can be done outside of Beis Din. We have Edim who rip up the original star, write a new star, and that's enough. So Rav Huna Amar Rav came to give us the following chiddush, that way we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Din will write the new star for the Malveh. The properties which were mortgaged are really always going to be mortgaged from the original date. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's true. But who writes the new star? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Edim can, and that according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, the halacha, we don't follow Rabbi Yossi, don't exactly follow Rabbi Yehuda, but it's closer to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's that the Beis Din writes the star and not the Edim. Rabbi Yossi had disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda because he thought Rabbi Yehuda had held that since we're writing a new star, the properties are only mortgaged from now. We didn't understand that according to Rabbi Yehuda, really, well, the star, even the new star that's written, the properties are mortgaged from the original date.